T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Show. We continue on the Big Bill Michaels Radio. Joe Zinzola across the way. Evan Heffelfinger is here as well, and we are glad you are tagging along for the ride today. This portion of the program is brought to you by our good friends over there at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Tonight, we're going to be at Rivals down in Kenosha. So hope to see you out there as a face in the crowd. Last time we were there, it was brutal cold and snowing and crappy, and tonight, I don't think we're supposed to have really that bad of weather tonight. Maybe a little bit of precipitation, but nothing extremely bad, at least not down in the Kenosha Racine area. So hopefully you get a chance to come on out tonight and enjoy the program. Radio Joe Zinzola is going to be there. Mike Clemens is going to be there. Should be a fun night tonight down there at Rivals. And we don't get down there that often, so come on by and say hello. 6 to 8 tonight, and it's heard on many of these same stations. It's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, all that being said, we're getting ready for the Packers and the Bears, and the commentary from Tremont Williams in the first game was basically, we wanted Mitch to play quarterback. Now, the commentary going into this game should be what? Should be what? Because as we had talked a little bit earlier, we were talking with Tom Oates of the Wisconsin State Journal. We were also talking earlier with Don Pearson, longtime NFL reporter, Mark Grody, Chicago Bears sideline reporter, who you're going to come up here in just a little bit and you're going to hear. All of this, the stories are different for both teams. Now, the Packers, you can say, defensively have regressed because their numbers have regressed. You go through the first four games of the season for the Packers, and they were an incredibly dominant team when it comes to scoring defense, even yards per game, getting off the field on third down. Their defense was one of the best. Since then, the Packers, defensively speaking, as a matter of fact, remember, the Packers were also one of the defenses that were leading the league in sacks. Okay, they were getting to the quarterback religiously. But since then, the stories have changed. The Green Bay Packers rank right now in total defense as 22nd in yardage given up. 22nd they've fallen to. So, and when you look at the points per game given up by this Packers defense, the Packers defense has also steadily kind of climbed. They're 13th. Now, 13th is solid. It's not bad, okay? You're 20.8 points per game. But at one point, they were in the top five, and then they fell to as low as 18, and now they've climbed again. They've got a couple of teams that they were able to kind of bend but don't break, and they've been successful in that area. The Packers, though, when you talk about the third down percentage, something in which they've been so incredibly good at, or at least were so incredibly good at, and that's getting off the field on third down early on the season, they were top three. Packers have now descended to 18th in the league. So the numbers through the first four skewed high. And after that, they dropped. And remember, the Packers were one of the best teams at putting pressure on quarterbacks. Remember, they were top five. They're now 20th. That is a far fall. 20th. And it's not necessarily the fault of, say, Preston and Zadarius Smith and the pass rush up front. That's not it. What teams have done is they've said, okay, look, wait a minute. If we stand in the pocket, we're going to get killed. But if you do a quick two- or three-step drop real quick and get rid of the football, you negate the pass rush. And, oh, by the way, look at the space they're giving us through the zone over the middle of the field. Holy mackerel. Let's exploit that. And the Packers have not had an answer for it. They just haven't. I don't think, to what Jack's point of view is, Jack says the defense has gotten worse because Pettine is not dialing up as many fantastic blitzes. He's going to do that come the postseason. No, that's not true. I mean, yeah, he's probably got some things in his quiver that he has not used yet. I would not doubt that. You are 100% correct. But you don't hold everything back waiting for the postseason. You don't do that. There's been games that have been in question, and they still have not been able to stop teams. So when it comes to sacks, yards given up, they're down Jacob's ladder, man. Not good. But points per game, they're kind of hanging in there. When they get into the short field situation inside that red zone, they're hanging in there. So the defense has changed. That story has changed. It is a different defense now, or teams are at least attacking them different now than they did that first week against the Bears. Offensively speaking, you could almost say they're the same. They're maybe a little bit better. Offensively, the scheme's been indoctrinated. They know the language. Guys know a lot more about this. They've tried to get in and out of the huddle better. They've tried to stymie the delay of game penalties because of some of the problems they had at getting play calls in. That has gotten better. But as far as doing it convincingly, that has fallen by the wayside. And meanwhile, the Bears, their defense is still their good defense, and they're getting Hakeem Nicks back most likely. Prince Amukamara is back after that hamstring injury. Yes, they have lost Roquan Smith. He has a torn pectoral muscle, and he's done for the season. And so that gives them a gap in the middle of their defense. But they still have fortification there, and they still can get after the quarterback. So if Aaron Rodgers is going to think about going back to what we've seen from years past, and that is hanging onto the ball, patting it in the pocket, and then being flushed out, it could be a long day at the office against this Bears defense. It just could be. 855-830-8648. So what is the what should the battle cry be going into this contest with the Bears? Is it let Mitch play quarterback, or is it something else? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You can get a hold of us there on the Milwaukee Admirals, hashtag Admirals50 talk line. Track us down. You can go to the Twitter account, which is at @Bill_Michaels, and hit me up there, at @Bill_Michaels. Facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. You can just sit there and look for the blue check mark and find me. You can also find me over on Instagram, TheRealBillMichaels, or over on YouTube at Bill Michaels. And the same thing on the website. Go to BillMichaels@BillMichaelsSports.com. Drop us an email, and then don't forget you can take us everywhere in your pocket or in your head on the radio.com app. It's as simple as that. I want to hear from you. What should the narrative be in this ball game upcoming against the Chicago Bears for the Green Bay Packers? And Stanley writes in, hey guys, love listening to the program and thanks for the fantasy advice. I think the Packers are going to get beat. I hate to say it, but they're not playing great football right now, and the Bears are starting to feel it. The Bears are starting to look like the Bears from last year. Do we really think the Bears are going to lose or the Packers are going to win this game? Those are two drastically different things. Thank you, Stanley. You're right in the sense that do the Bears lose it or do the Packers win it? Because what you do is you try to force Mitch into making mistakes. You know it's going to happen. You figure it's going to happen. Matt Nagy sometimes outthinks himself and allows it to happen. You take advantage of that. Does that mean that they lost the game or you necessarily won the game? I think if you see it coming and you know what's going to happen and you take advantage of that, that's you playing on your own circumstance and being a good football team and getting a win. But I think if you have two teams that play clean games, okay, no turnovers, it would be hard for me to sit here today and say with 100% confidence that the Packers are going to get a win. Now, I still think the Packers can win. I still think they're... Look, if I have to do a prediction right now, I think the Packers are going to win. But it's going to be by a slim margin. It's either going to be 24-21, 27-24, 21-20, something like that. But I don't think it's going to be... And Packers haven't gotten over 30 points in a while. Consistently. Okay, for a while there, they were rolling over people. Because it just kept getting better each and every week. You know, from week one going all the way through Kansas City, you were kind of thinking to yourself, man, this team's got it going on. They're getting better and better and better. And with Matt LaFleur and this offense and the way they run it, this has been fantastic. I mean, they scored 10 against the Bears in Week 1, 21 against the Vikings in Week 2, 27 against the Broncos in Week 3, 27 against the Eagles in Week 4, 34 against the Cowboys in Week 5. Then they had the hiccup against Detroit. Then they went with 42 against the Raiders in Week 7. Got to over 30 against the Kansas City Chiefs in Week 8 on the road. And then they lost to the Chargers 26-11. Then they beat the Carolina Panthers 24-16. And it's a win, right? It's a win. You take it. And you go on from there. But they have not consistently gotten over 30 points. So the offense, for the most part, has taken that step back. You know? And you beat Carolina 24-16. You come back and score only 8 against the San Francisco team that beat the hell out of you. They did get 31 against the Giants. And then obviously only 20 last week. So the consistency for 30 points or more, or at least 27 or more, it just hasn't been there. That offense hasn't put up those kind of points. Let's go to Mike listening to us in Waukesha. Mike, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Two quick questions, and I'll hang up and listen to what your thoughts are. Going to your point about everybody going to the short passing game, it appears to me that we are backing our corners way off. And if people are going with quick hitters, why aren't we playing more press coverage? We've got the cornerbacks to do it in Alexander and King. And then the second question I have is, throughout the season, especially the early part, it seemed that Rodgers was not able to get the ball far enough for MVS. And now it seems like MVS has completely disappeared from our offense. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are as far as, is it that Rodgers can't get him the ball deep enough, or is he just a horrible route runner? I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Thanks, I appreciate
Bill.
It, man. Look, I think there's a combination of things here. Okay, first and foremost, I think that you're right that at times Aaron Rodgers hanging onto the ball and allowing Marquez Valdes-Scantling to get downfield, for every couple of steps he took and you hang onto the ball, he's just gonna outrun it. He's just that fast. Okay, but I think what we've discovered is he's kind of the one trick pony when it comes to running a crisp route and Aaron Rodgers trusting your placement, if you will, and your technique to get open, it's been few and far between. He's had a couple of drops, you know, that hasn't necessarily helped him. And I think part of that has to do with what's gone on. I really do. But when you talk about, Aaron Rodgers overthrowing him or now not throwing him the ball at all, I just think that there is a focus on Devontae Adams. And I think after Devontae, his next look is to Jimmy Graham or to Aaron Jones, all guys that he trusts. That's what I think he's doing. I think he's looking for those guys specifically. I want to come back. We can get back into this. Go ahead and hear some more of your thoughts. Also going to hear from David Bakhtiari, who spoke yesterday. And then we're also going to hear from Mark Grody from 670 The Score in Chicago, the Bears sideline reporter. We got a lot more to go hanging on out here. By the way, tomorrow, speaking of hanging on out here, we're going to be at the Brat Stop tomorrow. Tomorrow from, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., our flagship station, The Fan, out of Milwaukee, their entire staff, including the Bill Michaels Show, all going to be live at the Brat Stop in Kenosha. So if you're a Packers fan, come on out at any point in the day. We're going to have a good time. And then the 670 The Score gang, which covers the Bears down in Chicago, they're coming north. We're all going to be under one roof doing our shows, hanging out together, chit-chatting Packers-Bears. It's Brat Bowl 1, and that's the way they're building it. So we're come on out and have a great time. It's all brought to you by Kenosha Subaru with the Share the Love event going on right now. So I can't wait for it. So when we come back, David Bakhtiari, more of your thoughts. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show is next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Hey, don't forget about our friends at Cousin Subs throughout Wisconsin, Illinois, even in Indiana now. They have delivery available. All you have to do is go to CousinSubs.com. That's CousinSubs.com. And see for yourself what it is we're talking about. All the great subs, hot off the grill, or the cold subs even. They can get you all the extras, all the fashionable stuff from Wisconsin, the mac and cheese, the cheese curds, even their good fries. They got it all at Cousin Subs. Go to CousinSubs.com and see what it is I'm talking about. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to go ahead and do so. You've got David Bakhtiari talking about, well, you know what? He would love to see a first-round bye for this team.
Rewarding. I think, you know, I go back and forth with if I like it or not because of rest. But, I mean, if your team's healthy, really the main positive that comes from it is a guarantee to get to the second, technically the second round.
He also talks about how they have to treat Aaron Jones, you know, because Aaron Jones is not a big dude. So, I mean, the argument has been how many touches should he get, and they've really tried to watch that.
Yeah, I think Aaron's awesome. I agree with you. If I have to guess, play outsider looking in, I think one of the main things is the reason why he is so good is because we, you know, keep him fresh, so to speak. You know, we're not wearing him down too much because he isn't the biggest back out there, and he is more of a slashing type player, playing running back and lethal like in the run game. And if you were to, you know, really run this guy down like a big back, you know, he could have some wear and tear on him.
So, look, we all understand he's not going to get 30 carries a game. I think what we were talking about earlier with Tom Oates of the State Journal was that you just got to figure out other ways to get him involved, other ways to get him the ball. He doesn't have to. We're not talking about specific touches at this point. What you're talking about is productive touches at this point. And they're not always going to be. He's not always going to have big yardage, but I think he's a consistent player. And it could be bad. Look, I agree to the other side of the spectrum, too, that if Aaron Jones went down or took way too many hits and diminished his ability, that could be detrimental to this Packers offense.
I mean, obviously, he's just a weapon at the end of the day, so as many chances or ways you can get the ball in his hands would be, you know, it is what you want to do. But, I mean, strictly put him in the backfield, have him grind out. You know, there are a couple, you know, as you know, there are just a couple just run plays that, I mean, that can really just take a toll on a back, you know, and just all those hits and the guys leaning on you and falling on you. I could see, especially for, you know, a back of his, you know, his size.
Also, David Bakhtiari was discussing the Pro Bowl and how, you know, hey, guys get voted into the Pro Bowl. They do a lot of stuff via the fans and such and other players, but the Pro Bowl, it's kind of lost some of its credibility.
Yeah, I think, you know, if I have to say my two cents on the Pro Bowl's really just turned into a popularity contest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's different than what it was back in the day. And it, honestly, for me, I feel bad saying this, but the credibility of it isn't there like it used to be. And I think it devalues the guys who came before us because it was more of an honor to go, where now it's, you know, who's the best promoter.
And he's right, and it used to be there was pride between the NFC and the AFC, and I'm not saying guys went full bore, but there was something to be said for the pride there. Now with the money at stake and everybody having the same agents and the same, you know, workout regimen with trainers, and they're all gathering in the off season and all playing golf together, and it's not that you want guys to hate each other. It's just that there's really nothing to play for in the Pro Bowl.
It's a double edged sword. You want to play, but what is there to play for? It's strictly an exhibition game. So then you're talking about somebody that's extremely high profile, you know, cream of the crop athletes in that sport. You know, they don't want, like, what is there to play for? And the last thing you want to do is get hurt in a game that's meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like we're getting paid or salary or that. It's so that's why I think, you know, I think that has helped transition it. But you talk about guys who came before me in my time. I mean, remember when I first got in the league, it was a very big deal for these guys for, you know, after their career and all that. And now, like, I look at it and I'm like, man, the only way I see it of any bit importance is, you know, certain guys have bonuses in their contracts if they're a first ballot Pro Bowler.
And I don't even know if that should be in contracts anymore, considering it's more of a popularity contest on promotions and commercials and likenesses rather than the actual physical play on the field. The All-Pro honors, though, as David Bakhtiari says, for him, because he's been recognized quite a few times, they stay consistent.
Yeah, you know, I think the All-Pro honors have pretty much stayed consistent with its credibility. I don't think it's really wavered through its time, and it definitely means a lot. And it's it also they're very selective. There's not a bunch of guys that can get a chance to go to get the exposure. It's like, hey, we're going to put two names out there. That's it. And I mean, for me, when I first you know had gotten my first All-Pro, I was extremely honored. I was taken back by that, and that's something that really for me that. Personally, that I will always make sure that I strive for because it, holds that credibility and something that I can look back and say at the end of the day, it stood the test of time.
Now, let me explain this. The All-Pro designation, it's not officially sanctioned by the NFL, but that's generally considered a more prestigious honor than the official, quote, All-Star designation to say a Pro Bowl selection, okay? Because All-Pro is voted on, and that is where the writers and such get involved, and they nominate you as an All-Pro, the cream of the crop at your position, okay? And again, it's not officially sanctioned by the NFL, but that's kind of like the AP Manager of the Year and MVP and things like that. That's more meaningful than being selected via guys with write-in votes and fans and such with Pro Bowl recognition, because again, like he said, that becomes more of a popularity contest. Bakhtiari also talks about how close this offense really is.
We're extremely close, just kind of getting a couple things aligned. I mean, I think you've seen what happens when the offense is clicking. Like, we've done it before in the season. I think obviously people have questions. We've been leaving points out there and sputtering out drives. It's just a lot of little things. The good thing is that it's little things. It's not big things. So if it were big things that we'd have to reinvent the wheel type stuff, we would be, that's an issue. That's something that's not gonna be fixed overnight or in a week. But when it's just little things, little tweaks here and there, like, hey, we got to do this better, we got to do that better. This guy's got to be on the same page. We got to do better on just the on-field communication with that. We're right back to where, we're sitting out our, Hall of Fame quarterback and our tenure vet at tackle when we played against the Oakland Raiders.
He also discusses, Mike McCarthy, because obviously that came out. I was off the last couple of days. I never even got a chance to really talk about that. But the interview that Tom Pelissero did with Mike McCarthy, and McCarthy discussing how he needs football and his family needs football and getting emotional. And he discusses how McCarthy has just a passion for the game of football.
Yeah, absolutely. Toughness. That's like the first thing that really jumps out when you said, what do you bring to a football team? A culture that's going to be tough. He brings up his hometown, Pittsburgh, a lot. And, I know that he's the type of guy that can go into an organization and fix what they have, their issues that they have going on over there. I mean, I can't say enough nice things about him. He was phenomenal when I was here. He was the first person to let me know that he wanted me to stay around here and that we should get a second deal done. And that was something I'm very appreciative when it comes to him. And, even though he – and I think the film kind of – his little clip that he had on that was out there kind of showed it. You know, he does have a tough exterior, and I talked about toughness is the first thing that jumps off the board. He's a guy that you can still talk to, and, he has that emotional side as well.
Yes.
I think that just shows, the type of – well-roundedness and his sheer just passion for the game.
And then last but not least, when it comes to Packers and it comes to Bears, buckle the chin straps.
Buckle your chin strap type game. Regardless of whatever the records are on either side, there's going to be big hits. It's a historic rivalry. And, this game has implications, playoff implications on both ends. So, it's going to be one that is going to be physical, hard-fought 60 minutes, four-quarter battle.
So there you have it. David Bakhtiari talking to The Big Show, which is on our flagship station, Sports Radio 105.7 and 1250 AM, The Fan out of Milwaukee yesterday, and just really, really good stuff. And covering many different, you know, aspects, obviously. When we come back, speaking of covering different aspects, we'll cover the different aspect that is the Chicago Bears. Mark Grody, sideline reporter for the Chicago Bears, and with 670 The Score in Chicago, he's going to be joining us. Also, don't forget, speaking of joining us, we want you to join us. If you can't do it physically, do it with your ears as we head down to Miami. And we're going to be doing it in January, getting you ready for the big game. Compliments of our friends at Great Lakes Dragaway. Now, 2019's in the past, 2020 right around the corner. If you got a weekend beater or something that you put your heart and soul into, you can run it down at Great Lakes Dragaway. Season pass is available right now. Simply go to GreatLakesDragaway.com. That's GreatLakesDragaway.com. Big viewing parties, and the MVP beer is now in a can down at Milwaukee Brewing. Milwaukee Brewing on 9th Street. Viewing, the place was packed last night prior to the Bucks game. MKE Brewing, you can check it out. Milwaukee Brewing right there on 9th Street, downtown Milwaukee. They have different nights. They have tons of different craft beers. They brew all the time. Go to Milwaukee Brewing and check it out. Then there's our friends at Pindell, a quality machining and manufacturing company right here in Wisconsin, in New Berlin, Wisconsin. And I can't tell you enough how they're looking for good people, whether you're looking to advance your career, you're looking for a job, you're looking for good pay, you're looking for steady wages, if you're looking for benefits, if you're looking for education, Pindell has it all. Go to Pindell.com. That's Pindell.com. Pindell.com. Check them out for yourself. When we come back, Mark Grody from The Score next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. Hey, a big announcement that just came across. This is for us personally more so than any, for you as listeners. But, you know, we did the toy drive last week, and in case you didn't know, the toy drive benefiting Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest Community Services smashed the record this past year. Smashed it. Last year, over $150,000 in cash and toys was donated. This year, over $200,000 in cash and toys. That's crazy. Holy mackerel. You're hoping for like 160, 170. You beat it by almost $50,000 plus. Huge gratitude to everybody listening to this program. Oh my goodness. This is just awesome. Just awesome. So we certainly appreciate all your participation and all your help. That is just unbelievably overwhelming. Mark Grody, Chicago Bears sideline reporter and 670 The Score insider. The question I had was early on this season, obviously there was a lot of things and misgivings about even picking Mitch Trubisky, and now he's playing better. So why is Mitch Trubisky playing better?
He's playing better for a couple of reasons. Really one reason. They've simplified things for him, and we've heard about that all season long to where, you know, let Mitch be Mitch and, you know, call the plays with which he is comfortable. And Mitchell Trubisky has a voice in this. I don't think throughout the year this year he has felt he truly had the liberty to say what he wants. And I think that only recently has he actually done that. So number one, you've got a simplified playbook. Number two, they have allowed him to, and Mitch has believed that he is allowed to, use his legs a little bit more. And that is when he sees green grass in front of him, a play breaks down, he doesn't have to feel like he has to get it to one of his playmakers down the field, that he was one of the better running quarterbacks in the league last year. Let's get back to that. It's okay if that's your bread and butter. So that's one thing, the whole using the legs thing. The other part, too, is that recently you have had something that you haven't had all season long, and that is the use of tight ends. Tight ends are so crucial in this Matt Nagy offense, and you had nothing, basically, with Trey Burton and Adam Shaheen earlier this year for various reasons. And now, although it's not like they're collecting 100-yard games, you have a couple of guys in J.P. Holtz and Jesper Horsted who have been a factor in these games, factors for real, to allow you to help get the ball down the field. David Montgomery, the running back, has been better as well. So you've got guys doing their jobs beyond Mitchell Trubisky. And then Anthony Miller, who did nothing, if you guys may recall, in that first game against the Packers. Mm-hmm. If you look at his stat line, and it was symbolic of a lot of his year, he was targeted once. That was it. And then a bunch of zeros by his name. So he's starting to get involved more, too, and he's studying the playbook better, and he's where he's supposed to be, which he wasn't for a lot of the year.
I'm looking at a lot of the injuries on both sides. Both teams come into this relatively healthy, obviously, but Akeem Hicks, is he going to be playing in this game?
I think he will be, Bill. Yeah, he's, you know, he hasn't officially been activated yet. He has not officially been given the green light, but he has been practicing since last week when he was eligible to actually practice. I imagine that he hasn't been going completely all out in practice and just allowing that shoulder to completely, or elbow to completely heal and be back. So, yeah, I do think he'll give it a go. How, you know, if he's full force, Akeem Hicks, I don't know if that will be the case. He may be on a little bit of a snap count, if you will. But, yeah, I do think that he's going to be back to give it a go.
And then Prince Amukamara, I think he practiced in everything yesterday. He should be ready to go too, right?
Yeah, he did. He did practice yesterday. He's had the hamstring injury. So, yeah, I'd be surprised if he was not back. Obviously, he missed the game last week, and they were okay without him, but they are much better with him.
The narrative for many fans here seems to be, well, Aaron Rodgers, much like Brett Favre, just beats the Bears. You know, I mean, and my argument to that is don't get too comfortable, because I think the Packers have regressed from where they were. Now, granted, their offense wasn't great in week one. We all know that. But then it really started to gain ahead of steam. It scored more points each and every week, garnered more yards each and every week, and now it's taken a regression. Do you see fallibility right now in this Packers team coming north?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I've seen enough times where I've seen fallibility in the Green Bay Packers, and I've seen Bears teams that I thought man for man were better, and then the Bears end up getting burned by Green Bay. I think that they're one of those teams that earlier in the year, you know, they were better than they are right now, and the Bears obviously were a lot worse earlier this year. But I think things have evened up. I think man for man, I think the Packers are a better team than the Bears even right now, but things have – the gap has closed considerably to this point in the season, and the Bears, you know, the Bears are properly motivated for this game. And I know Green Bay will be too, because it is the Bears and they are at home and all that kind of stuff, but they're sitting pretty right now. The Packers are, with where they are in the division and their playoff hopes and all that. I think the Bears, that this is, you know, they are in sudden death territory, one loss, and, you know, maybe not mathematically, but I think practically they are done. So I think if one team has the motivational edge, it would be the Bears over the Packers this week, at least.
I look at this Bears team coming in, and I think there's a couple of things we've always circled. One is obviously Mitch. Two is Matt Nagy. There are times where Matt Nagy tries to be the smartest guy in the room and either makes it one too complicated or tries to do too many things when things are working, such as the run game the first time these two teams met. Has he learned from his mistakes?
Yeah, he has. I think that's a great point. I mean, there was a game this year where the Bears had a historic low in carries. I think it was like 7 carries for 13 yards, and it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing, and it was after that that I think Nagy, that's when they brought in an extra blocker. They brought in a guy to play some fullback and just some classic alignments to run the football. So he finally started to figure things out. We talked about it with the quarterback earlier, with Mitchell Trubisky, what he's allowed. You know, I always like to say that Matt Nagy has this big, complicated, fun playbook, and he has ripped chapters out of it and throughout the season. And now he might even be using a completely different book. I was talking about this yesterday with another coach that, look, I mean, last year Matt Nagy did a lot of fancy plays, Santa Slay and all these fun names in these months, but he hadn't done any of that this year. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the last time we saw a classic trick play or a gadget play. I mean, there's been none of that this year out of Matt Nagy. So he's been completely different in that regard, and now he's just starting to get comfortable, I would say, with running the football and, you know, settling for, you know, a lower amount of yards on certain plays and maybe not the big play and the home run every single time. And I think it's been really, really hard for him, and it took him a long time to get there, but he finally has.
With the narrative in the NFL, specifically in the NFC, being it looks like 11 wins are going to get you there, and possibly even a team with 11 wins may not even make the postseason. Are they using the charge? Because obviously the Bears have to win out if they even have a shot at going to the postseason. But are they using that as we have a legitimate shot, or as this 7-6 record coming into this game is, hey, let's just get momentum going into next season?
That's a great question. I think that the players, honestly, like, they're realistic. They get it. They're not dumb that even if they do win out, it's possible the Bears will not make the playoffs. And winning out is going to be a tough trick. The Bears obviously have a tough game at Lambeau this week. Then they play the Kansas City Chiefs. And then they play at Minnesota. Those are not what we would call slam dunk victories. So I think the players are extremely happy that they're in the picture, that it's not ridiculous to say that they're in the picture. But I think they know that it's, you know, one little glitch in any of this, and they're out. But I do, to answer your question directly, I do think that until they lose a game in these final three, if they lose a game in these final three, I think that they do consider themselves in playoff mode. And I don't think there's too many players right now who are, like, thinking about next year, which would entail either protecting themselves or padding their stats, because that's usually what it comes down to for players when it's irrelevant.
I'm talking from Mark with Mark Grody, the Bears sideline reporter from 670 The Score in Chicago. I got to ask you, is it a little bit of satisfaction knowing that it was the Bears' victory over Dallas that drove Jerry Jones over the edge?
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I am not anti-Jerry Jones necessarily, but or even the Dallas Cowboys. I know a lot of people are. But it was kind of fun to watch the developing chaos that ensued on the opposite sideline on which I was standing. I mean, I was obviously working the Bears sideline, and then word got over to myself and Christina Pink, who covers the sideline nationally for Fox, that all the fun was going on the opposite sideline to the Chicago Bears, which, you know, is fun for a sideline reporter. So I just kind of meandered over there. I was just kind of observing and watching the for the sake of chaos, not necessarily because I take a particular excitement in watching Dallas flop like I know a lot of people do, but I've never been an anti-Cowboys guy.
There you have it. That's Mark Grody, Chicago Bears insider and sideline reporter from 670 The Score down in Chicago. We're going to talk to Mark tomorrow, as a matter of fact. We'll probably see him face-to-face, or you may see him over there at the Brat Stop in Kenosha. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Hey, talking about my good friends and people that take us deep into the postseason, speaking of that, our great friends Lyle and everybody at J&L Tire Service out there in Johnson Creek. They are a great family, a great business, and just simply great people. They've been working with the Johnson Creek and Watertown and surrounding areas for over 25 years. And truck drivers, hey, they are highly rated when it comes to trailer repair. They can do it all. So if you're a soccer mom, a deer hunting dad, or an over-the-road driver, anywhere in between, they not only want to earn your business, but they want to earn it to the point that you want to come back and you want to tell people about them. Lyle and his staff are awesome. I can't say more about them. Go to jandltire.com. That's jandltire.com. And also our friends out at Lake Country Doors. It's Ben and the whole staff out there. LakeCountryGarageDoors.com. That's LakeCountryGarageDoors.com. And right now, you know the weather's getting cold and you probably got cold air flying through your garage door, whether you want it sealed up or maybe you want a new one or maybe you want a garage door opener so you don't have to get out in the cold and open it yourself. They do incredible work. 262-751-2674. That's 262-751-2674. Make sure you tell Ben we sent you. Again, 262-751-2674. We wrap it up next in the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. We continue on. We are glad you are here today. Thanks, as always, for taking a listen to us. Man, I tell you what, thanks to so many of you who contributed, listened, spread the word regarding the toy drive, which is based out of our Milwaukee location, our flagship station, The Fan, 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. And I talked about this before. I don't know. Joe, is this the first time we found out the full totals? I wasn't here the last couple of days. Did they announce this before today, or was this just now announced?
No, this was announced a couple of days ago.
Was it? Okay.
But it's just $200,000 total.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's insane.
$200,000 plus. So, I apologize for making it seem like it was breaking news here, because apparently it's been introduced into the market prior to, but... this is the first time hearing about it. So I was out of touch the last couple of days, but man, oh man, oh man, what a tremendous effort by everybody. So tomorrow, here we go. Here we go. It is Brat Bowl 1, brought to you by Kenosha Subaru, with the Share the Love event going on through January 2nd. Tomorrow, it's Brat Bowl 1. We are live from the historic Brat Stop in Kenosha. We are going to be chatting with and doing our shows in conjunction with 670 The Score out of Chicago. We're going to get you ready for the rematch between the Packers and the Bears. We got our normal Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst Eric Baranchek, our Green and Gold tape breaker downer guy, if you will. We're going to go inside with him, and also Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold insider, is going to be here tomorrow as well. Plus some of the guys from The Score and the personalities down there. We hope to see you down there. Because that's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, don't forget, coming up tonight, we're going to be 6 to 8 o'clock this evening down at Rivals in Kenosha. We hope to see you down there as well. What a fun environment that's going to be. So I'm going to be efforting down towards Kenosha twice here in the next less than 24 hours. Good stuff. Time for us to get out of here. Have a good one. See you.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.